company 0x4447 builds products to increase standardization and security in AWS organizations. They do this with automated pipelines that use well-structured projects to create secure, easy-to-maintain, and fail-tolerant solutions, one of which is their VPN product, built on top of the popular OpenVPN project, which has no license restrictions. You are only limited by the network card in the instance.
Tomorrow, Amazon reports its quarterly earnings. I've talked in some depth about AWS's compensation model being heavily stock-driven and the market being the market. That means that a number of excellent AWS friends who have been absolutely killing it find their fortunes rising and falling based entirely upon how well Amazon's underpants store division performs. I'm not one to keep my opinions to myself, and one of those opinions is that a $1.412 trillion company can afford to pay decent wages to the folks that run an ever larger swath of the internet. Expressing that opinion in not particularly subtle ways is, of course, a great excuse for me to try out the Cloud Development Kit, or CDK. Calling Amazon a $1.412 trillion company is accurate to three decimal places, and that's all well and good, but the stock market moves. I want my periodic references to that figure to at least be up to date. I could, of course, check Amazon's market capitalization in a web browser every time I make the reference, but that sounds like a lot of undifferentiated heavy lifting to me. In fairness, so does wrestling with AWS services, but that's strangely never a point that gets brought up in AWS's keynotes. The SVP of bad decisions over at Yahoo has been steadily turning off services for years and eventually made their way over to the Yahoo Finance API as well. Fortunately, some suspiciously named third-party clone calling itself Yahoo Finance API has shown up and works well enough for my purposes. Further, Apple has brought its Shortcuts app from iOS to the Mac as well. I was able to build a shortcut relatively quickly that could grab the result of the API call I was making and copy it to the system clipboard, but I quickly got lost in the weeds of how exactly Apple expects you to work with JSON in its constrained Shortcuts environment. After a few minutes, I realized that I didn't really want to pay for the privilege of using an artificially constrained programming environment that was specific to one company's platform and kept putting obstacles in front of me, so I used AWS Lambda instead. A dozen lines of crappy Python later, I had something that would query the suspicious and frightening finance API, then massage the result to return the string that I wanted. Now, all I had to do was deploy it and teach the Apple shortcut to simply hit the URL of my API gateway and copy the result to the clipboard without doing anything fancy itself. For novelty, I decided to deploy it into my AWS account via the CDK. As an added bonus, this tracks almost perfectly with the CDK workshop that lives at cdkworkshop.com, and it's a tutorial, so what luck? It turns out that the CDK supports JavaScript, TypeScript, Python, Java, C#, and Go. Within any of those languages, it gives you tools for provisioning and working with AWS resources in that language. Then you run CDK deploy, and it renders down whatever you've written into standard CloudFormation and deploys it to your AWS account. I'm certain I'm missing some nuance here. I'm equally certain that I do not care about that nuance, so please don't email me about it. The CDK Workshop's Python section is missing a few things, most notably a warning asking if you're sure that you want to do this. The Python support has a lot more sharp edges than TypeScript or Go, as per my CDK friends on Twitter. Now, because it's Python, there's the usual dependency management hassles you get to jump through. Then, to install the CDK to use with Python, you of course use NPM, which is how one installs Node.js packages, because computers are terrible. I use the ASDF version manager system, about which the CDK whined mightily because the Node version it defaulted to was too new. I had to back out and restart the process with something a bit longer in the tooth. Just as an aside here, if you're shipping a command line tool for people to use, particularly if that tool is not isolated to the JavaScript ecosystem, you really want to get away from the use NPM to install it model. For those of us who aren't proficient with JavaScript or its ecosystem, it's a very finicky process that lends itself to feeling like we're constantly either doing battle with the package manager or destroying our system's installation of Node just to get a text renderer working. ship an omnibus binary, never show the user a JavaScript stack trace unless explicitly asked to do so, and suddenly you'll find a whole lot of folks on the DevOps side of the world are going to take what you've built a heck of a lot more seriously. I also had to translate between the workshop's assumption that I was using VS Code as my editor and the reality of I've been using Vim for 15 years and I'm not likely to stop now. Once that was done, it largely worked, though I had some things to wrap my head around as I went. This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Vultr, spelled V-U-L-T-R, because they're all about helping save money, including on things like, you know, vowels. So what they do is they are a cloud provider that provides surprisingly high performance cloud compute at a price that, well, sure, they claim it is better than AWS's pricing, and when they say that, they mean that it's less money. Sure, I don't dispute that. But what I find interesting is that it's predictable. They tell you in advance on a monthly basis what it's going to cost. They have a bunch of advanced networking features. They have 19 global locations and scale things elastically, not to be confused with openly, which is apparently elastic and open. They can mean the same thing sometimes. They have had over 1 million users. Deployments take less than 60 seconds across 12 pre-selected operating systems, or if you're one of those nutters like me, you can bring your own ISO and install basically any operating system you want. Starting with pricing as low as $2.50 a month for Vultr Cloud Compute, they have plans for developers and businesses of all sizes, except maybe Amazon, who stubbornly insists on having something of the scale all on their own. Try Vultr today for free by visiting vultr.com/screaming, and you'll receive $100 in credit. That's vultr.com/screaming. So what I learned is that the CDK is very particular about its directory structure. If you want to deploy a Lambda function, or let alone a more complex application, via the CDK, you might think that your application would dictate the directory structure and layout for your project. You would be wrong, because you're in the CDK's world now. I also slowly realized that just because the Lambda I was writing was in Python did not mean that I had to manage this infrastructure via CDK with Python as well. I could have just as easily used the TypeScript or Go CDK expressions and kept the Python Lambda function exactly as it was. Well, in theory anyway. In practice, I do not know those languages, and thus, instead, felt like every sharp Python CDK edge was a reflection on my lack of technical acumen. You really, really don't want to put users in that position if you can avoid it. So the big unanswered question that I'm left with is pretty common. Now that this is working, I will likely not touch it again for years, if ever. That's kind of the entire point of a utility Lambda function like this one. If it breaks, it's not going to be the end of the world for me, and it's likely going to be tied to something upstream that shifts instead. The problem I have, though, is that I have about 14 AWS accounts spread across 3 organizations. Each of those accounts has about 20 AWS regions from which to choose. If this thing breaks in a few years and I have to fix it, I am not going to remember which AWS account it lives in, shitposting for future me watching this, nor what region it lives within, and that's Ohio, since it seemed a natural home for something that sucks. AWS sees this application as just another CloudFormation stack, since the CDK's magic happens client-side before interfacing with AWS via more traditional means. The trouble is I'm going to collect dozens or hundreds of these things over the years, and now I've got a somewhat serious library management problem. What is the current state of the art for managing a giant pile of one-offs like this in a way that lets me find them again when I need to? If you know the answer, please do reach out, because this problem is only going to get worse for everyone. So my takeaway primarily here was that all in all, this was a fun way to spend a couple of hours. I get the CDK in ways that I didn't before kicking the tires on it myself. That said, I'm uncertain that it's for me. The Python support remains touch and go, and I can't shake the feeling that its primary user is intended to be folks who are significantly better at programming than I am, or at least who think about programming differently. I'd be curious to know what you think I might be missing or failing to properly appreciate about the offering. That is a sincere offer. Understanding how to work with things like this is always an ongoing process. I found the promise compelling for a certain type of user, but the sharp edges I encountered were more than a little bit off-putting. After all, I expect a bit more polish from a $1.412 trillion company.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.